So we're talking with Mike Sportello, who serves as the Rochester Campaign for New York Healthcare Chair. He also works as a clinic coordinator for a clinic for the uninsured. He was one of the people, I believe, who testified at a recent hearing that the state legislature held on the issue of single payer. So, Michael, we certainly have had a lot of guests over the years, over the months, over about what New York Health is, but why don't you give people a brief introduction?
Absolutely. So what the New York Health Act does is it covers every New Yorker, the rich, the poor, and those of us in between, with no copays and no deductibles. And this is really important because right now we know that high costs are limiting families from bringing their children and themselves to the doctor when they need to go. As someone that works in a hospital, that works in a clinic for the uninsured, I see the problem on the impact this actually has on their health. The New York Health Act would cover everybody in the state and make sure that these problems no longer get in the way between you and your doctor, you and your nurse, you and your healthcare provider. Decisions should be made by patients and their doctors, not by the for-profit health insurance companies.
Well, one of the things that, you know, some of the opponents of single-payer healthcare will argue is, oh, everybody wants to keep their present health insurance, and they want that choice. So how does New York Health deal with the issue of choice?
Absolutely. And there's two things I want to make sure to bring up here. First off is choice of a doctor, choice of a healthcare provider. And the other thing I want to bring up is choice of healthcare plan. So I'm going to start with the first one because it's a little shorter. So when we passed Obamacare in 2010, we were told, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. And this actually turned out not to be true. The for-profit health insurance companies get to decide who's in network or who's out of network. And that's still true today. If you like your doctor, I'm glad to hear that. But oftentimes what happens is people switch jobs or employers switch plans, and all of a sudden your doctor is no longer in network for that plan. And the doctor you and your family has been seeing for the last decade is no longer in your plan, and even though he lives down the block, you can't go see him. You can't go see her. And that's a real problem in terms of providing good care, good doctor-patient relationship. The second thing I want to bring up that you just mentioned is choice of plan. People say they really like their plan. And, you know, I think that people like parts of their plan. Let me give you a personal example. I personally have a no-deductible plan with copays. It covers some medicines at relatively cheap costs, and other medicines that I've taken at relatively high costs have been a detriment and a barrier for me to actually obtain those medications. I like the part of my plan that is no deductible. People compare their current plans to other plans they may have had in their life or their friends' plans and say, I like my plan. I only pay $50 for my kids' medicine that they need. I mean, my kid's life is worth more than $50 to be sure. That's a good deal. Well, sure, it's a good deal relative to the value of a human life. But relative to what we could be doing, insuring all New Yorkers with no copay and no deductible, including medicines, for less than we're currently spending now because there are no for-profit health systems profiting off of our families, that's the best choice. And that's what I say to people when they say they like their plan. You may like your plan, and under this plan, we're going to keep all of the same providers in network, but we're going to make sure that everything at front is no cost and no barrier to you and your family.
Now, recently, there was a hearing, I believe, in Rochester around New York Health. You know, why are these hearings being held? And, you know, what were some of the highlights of the hearing?
Yeah. So these hearings were held because we want people to know that this bill exists. So right now, the New York Health Act has one vote short in the state Senate and has passed 4 years in a row in the state assembly. So this is a bill that's about that needs just a little bit of a push over the edge. We need one more state senator on board with this, okay? And the hearings are trying to popularize this. We want people to call their state senator and say, why don't you sponsor a bill that gets me their medicine for free? Why don't you sponsor a bill that ensures that my wife can go see the doctor when she needs to? Why can't I actually see the doctor that I wanted to see? Why isn't he in network? And the hearings popularize that by allowing the stories, the bad stories of that happen every day in my clinic, come out to the forefront. And there were several highlights of the hearings. People shared some really powerful stuff. One individual shared that his son, and it wasn't even an affordability issue, his son had forgotten to pay the $20 that he needed to renew his medication coverage for that month, okay? Again, some people can't afford $20, but this person actually could. He just forgot to pay it. And what wound up happening is he went to the pharmacy to fill his antidepressant medication, and because he hadn't filled it, he couldn't, the health insurance company wouldn't cover it, and so the price of the drug at the counter was far, far, far more than $20, far, far, far more expensive than it should have been. And he wound up committing suicide later that month. Now, I don't think this, we live in a world this rich, when we live in a country that's the richest of any country in the history of the world, when we have billionaires that make, when three people have more wealth than the bottom 50% of us combined, I don't believe that we can't afford to make sure that suicides like that don't happen. I believe that we can stop those, that we can insure everybody and make sure that cost isn't a barrier to our health care. That's just one of many stories.
Now, obviously, one of the things we've heard about the years is the number of people who are uninsured, but I also understand there's a significant problem with underinsured, and still, even after Obamacare, a significant percentage of people in America who go bankrupt due to high health care costs actually have health insurance, but it just doesn't cover them not sufficiently when they have a catastrophic emergency situation.
Yeah, it's a really big problem. So Obamacare did a lot. It brought the uninsurance rate in the country from 10% down to about 6%. Right now in New York, it's 6%, and 3% of New York children don't have health insurance. So to be sure, an expansion of Medicaid and an expansion of health care through Obamacare dramatically lowered the rate of uninsurance in our state. But that's not discussing the problem of, first of all, those 6% of people that don't have health insurance. That's a sad story. But it also doesn't cover the underinsurance problem. So since 2008, there have been a huge spike in these things called high-deductible plans. And what these are is that the insurance company will cover everything that they promised you, just not until you paid the first $5,000, not until you paid the first $2,000. And these high-deductible plans are becoming more and more common. In fact, around 40% of Americans are on something like a high-deductible plan, which is up by a factor of about four, from 2007. And so when we're talking about actual ability to use your health insurance, we're talking about 40% of New Yorkers are on plans that are either don't insure them at all or insure them only after a huge amount of out-of-pocket expenses. I don't know about you, but if a medication cost me hundreds of dollars until I hit $5,000, I'm just never going to get the medication in the first place because I know in the long haul it's going to be too expensive for me and I won't be able to do it. And that's what I'm seeing in clinic. That's what we're seeing in our hospitals. Our patients are not doing the necessary preventative care they need, and they're not taking the necessary chronic medicines that they need for their diabetes, their chronic medications that they need for their asthma. And people are suffering as a result. In some cases, people are dying. People that are not taking their blood pressure medicines can get rebound hypertension and die within 24 hours of that happening. We see this in our hospitals, and it's not happening to the rich people. It's happening to those of us in the middle class and those of us with even less money than that. This is a fixable solution.
Michael, so we have a little bit under 2 minutes left. I'll give you a two-part question. I do remember a couple of years ago a study being done by, I believe, a professor in Massachusetts. He said if we had single-payer health care in New York, something like, I can't remember the exact number, maybe $50 billion a year we would save in terms of overall health care costs. But cost is the big issue. Raising taxes is what they always talk about. So can you address the cost issue in 90 seconds? Plus, if people want more information or want to pressure their legislators, how best to do that?
Absolutely. So first of all, there's been a bunch of different economic analyses done, one on the left, one on the right, and one in the middle. I'm going to refer people to the middle. I want people to trust the numbers we're about to give them. You can easily Google the RAND Report's New York Health Act, and it'll spell out all the findings that they have. And what they found was that this saves New York State a ton of money, but more importantly, it saves the people of New York State, the families of New York State, a ton of money. And if you make less than $300,000 per year, you will save money under this new plan. And if you make more than that, then you'll still be insured with no copay and no deductible. You'll just have to pay a little bit more. One might argue that taxes go up, but people don't care about taxes. People care about how much they're actually paying. If you can get a $3,000 tax increase with a $4,000 reduction in the amount you're paying for health premiums and deductibles, only an idiot would not take that deal, okay? This is saving New York families money. And the second part of your question, how do we get involved? Well, it starts off by going to nyhcampaign.org and signing the petition under the Get Involved tab, and we'll hook you up with your local organizers. Soon, in the Bronx, there's going to be another New York Health Act hearing, and after that, there'll be one in the Hudson Valley. So we need people with stories. We need people to just show up for each other and say that everyone deserves health care, not just the rich and powerful.
We've been talking with Mike Sportello, who is the chair for the Rochester Campaign for New York Healthcare, and this has been Mark Dunley for Hudson Mohawk Magazine.